His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master. They're singing that, and then they played the next one, and it was so high I could not sing it, so we went back to the other one. But it's so good to see each of you in the service this evening. Jesse's going to come and make our announcements for us. We're glad that you're here this evening. Bless you, Jesse.
Good evening, Crossville Church.
Good evening.
I got in there and heard you all singing so good, and I thought, man, I must have missed it. They must have started early. Missed my cue. You all were singing good. But thank you all for being here tonight. If you're on Facebook, thank you for joining us. Please make sure you comment and let us know that you are watching. And we appreciate you for worshiping with us tonight. Of course, we'll have Super Summer Something this Wednesday evening. Missions will be in charge. Like I said this morning, we'll be having barbecue. So trying to make it easy on ourselves. And so we're not cooking it. It's being catered. So you can't hold it against me if it's not good. But we'll look forward to a good time of fellowship with you guys. And so, of course, you know, just be in person in Family Life Center at 6 like normal on Wednesday night. No Facebook Live or anything of that nature. I mentioned the Bread of Life ministry meeting this morning, not for this upcoming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday at 10 a.m. on that Tuesday in the conference room. And that is for people who are on the Bread of Life committee, but then also for people who would like to assist who are not on that committee. And then this upcoming Sunday, have Fifth Sunday Breakfast at 8:30. Don't forget about that. Young Adult Sunday School class is in charge of the meal. So hopefully we will have a good spread out for you guys. And so don't forget about that. Don't forget to invite people to come to that before Sunday School. And we're excited to be able to do that. There is a sign-up sheet for Bread of Life out in the foyer. I think many of you have already signed up to bring specific items. If you can't bring an item or whatever, if you would like to come help, there's a sign-up sheet under that one for helping. And we've moved the date. It had been the second Saturday. Now it's going to be the first Saturday of each month that we're going to be helping with Bread of Life. So all that information is out there. If you can please peruse it and sign up for whatever you can help with. Don't forget to be gathering your... I got ridiculed when I said junk last year, so I'm not going to say junk. Treasured items that you would like to donate for the youth. Talk to Pastor Tyler or Keisha, and they can direct you in the right way for the youth yard sale. Don't forget to pick up those envelopes that Pastor Tyler mentioned this morning for NYC. I know some of you have already grabbed those as well. Don't forget about the Guardians Quartet coming on the 5th. I'll get it right here in a minute, Friday night the 5th. We've still got some of the flyers out there, so please make sure you hand those out if you know some places that do not have them. All right. I think that is it. Look for the newsletter on Friday, and it'll tell you about what we have going on the upcoming week.
Let's begin our worship by standing, if you are able. And we will begin to lift our voices to the Lord this evening.
Is the grandest theme through the ages run. Is the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. It's the grandest theme that the world has sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Our eyes of rest go to him for the grandest theme. Let the tidings flow to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, He will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though thy sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For He is so precious to me.
nation so good and free. Sing it again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we do thank you. And we praise you for all the good things you've done for us. Thank you for this day that we've had as we have rejoiced in you and as your Spirit has blessed us and has helped us. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the way that you moved in this service this morning. And we're grateful, Lord, for your Spirit that spoke to our hearts. But Lord, this is a new time. It's a new service. And we thank you, Lord, for what we've already felt as we've sung these songs, because you are indeed precious to us. And we're so grateful for all that you do for us. Most of all, Lord, as the little chorus, the old chorus that we just sang, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, so full and free. And we do praise you for that tonight. Thank you for these that have gathered here. May you touch them, bless them, speak to them. For those on Facebook they're not able to be with us this evening, may you bless them and speak to them and help them. May this time be crowned with your presence. And may you be glorified through everything that is done. And we're going to give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're going to accomplish in this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Before I sing, can I just say that the choir, me in particular, I am recruiting some temporary, you're not getting married to the choir, I'm recruiting some temporary singers. If you've ever sang in the choir or not, if you've ever sang in your shower, if you feel like you absolutely cannot sing, if you hear somebody singing around you, tell them we need them just for temporary. We've got a big song that we want to do, but it really needs a lot of voices. So if you'll join us. We'd love to, and you don't even have to come for the entire hour of choir practice. If you'll come for like the last 30 minutes, we'll teach you the song. You don't even have to read music, just read words. Okay, thank you.
Someone said that in each life some rain is bound to fall, and each one sheds his share of tears and troubles us all. But the hurt won't hurt forever, and the tears are bound to dry, and it won't rain always. The clouds shine in his His own good time, and He will see you through. The sun's gonna shine in God's own good time, and He will see.
I want to speak to you this evening from Matthew chapter 5. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to read verses 17 through 20, and then we'll get into the sermon this evening. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 17 and going down through verse 20, we're looking tonight at the fulfilled word. Last two Sunday nights, we've looked at being salt, and we've talked about being light in our world. And this evening, we're going to look at the fulfillment of the fulfilled word, or the fulfillment of the law, ever what you want to call it. But here in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." You will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. They say that the famous last words of a church are, "We've never done it that way before." You know? I'm so thankful that since I've been here, we've done a lot of things a little different, I think, than what you were accustomed to, and that's because I'm a different person. Now, you can take that and run with it any way you want to. I just set it up there. It was one of those soft pitches that you could have hit out of the park, you know. But I have found out a long time ago that traditions are always difficult to see changed. Traditions are always difficult, especially if you feel like they're going to be destroyed. There are those things that are left alone. Please understand that there are principles upon which we stand that they do not change. Period. Right is still right, wrong is still wrong. Those things do not change. But there are some things in that we do that we don't do any longer. Do you remember when we used to do bus ministry? Every church had buses. Do you remember that? And a lot of churches had more than one bus. Lots of churches had 5 and 6 and 10. I know of one church that had 30 buses that it ran every Sunday. It was a huge church, but still, I mean, that is but you know what happened to the bus ministry? Gas prices went up, nothing like what we have seen lately, but gas prices went up, and buses became too expensive, and so everybody in town was selling their church bus, and nobody could get rid of their church buses. Now, there was nothing wrong with the bus ministry. There was nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with the bus ministry. A lot of kids came to know Jesus. A lot of adults came to know Jesus because they were brought to church on a bus. But we don't do that anymore because things are different. Some things change. Principles never do. We become very accustomed to things, and the longer that we have, the more accustomed we become to them, the more we like them. And then if somebody comes along and they begin to try to change things, then it becomes a whole other story, you know. Mark Twain said that the only one who likes change is a baby, and they'll fuss about it. You look here at this passage of Scripture and you say, "William, what in the world does all that have to..." I'm about to bring it all together right here, okay. Jesus has been dealing with the way his followers are to live. He's been dealing with the type of people that his followers are to be. And when you go and you look at the Beatitudes there, he is basically talking about our disposition. He's basically talking about our desires. He's talking about our determination and the things that cause us to do what we do. The last 2 weeks we have talked about the fact that we are salt in a tasteless world, and we have talked about the fact that we are light in a very dark world. Now, all the things that I've just told you about, they were somewhat new to the crowd that was there that day, but they understood when Jesus began to talk about salt and he began to talk about light. They understood because those are things that we really understood. But then Jesus begins to do something. He begins to talk about things and all of this, and they begin to hear what he is saying, and perhaps somebody in the crowd that day poke the other one, not realizing that the God of the universe was sitting at the top of the hill, you know. And they looked at the other one and said, "Do you think this guy's come to just destroy everything that we know?" I mean, I know you would never say that about me sitting in the pew. Come on, laugh. You know? Is he going to destroy the law of Moses? Because in a lot of ways, he was challenging some of their thought processes. Even though he was talking about very familiar things, he was challenging their thought processes. And it's very easy to sit there and someone begin to talk about things in a different way, and we can become very challenged in our thought processes. If you don't believe it, go to a board of ministry meeting and ask these younger preachers, describe sanctification. And you're sitting there scratching your head because they're using terminology that I would have never thought of using. And if they don't say it like I know it, then it's wrong. You do know I said that with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek. Because we're in a different generation. They are describing things in a little different way. And if we'll take the time to listen long enough and really get to understand their heart, we're going to see that they're saying exactly what we know, except they're just saying it in a little different way. But Jesus wasn't just saying things in a little bit of a different way. Jesus was really challenging them. He was taking the traditions that they held so dear, and he was really beginning to challenge them. And he really, as he began to talk about the salt and the light and those kinds of things, even though they were very familiar concepts to these people, he began to put a twist on it that they had never heard before. And so this evening, I want us to look at what Jesus says here in verses 17 down through verse 20. And he's really talking about here the Word of God. They understood the law to be the Word of God. And so you and I tonight, as we're talking about this, we're going to understand that Jesus is talking about the law. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about all that we have. And so I want us to see what Jesus has to say about this and the priorities that we have to put on the Word of God and on these things in our own life. The first thing that I want you to notice, it's already on the screen. The first thing that I want you to see this evening is that Jesus talks to them about the perfection of the Word of God. Look at verse 17 one more time. Because he says there, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them. I've come to fulfill them." I've come to fulfill them. Now, I've already said it in kind of an indirect way. Now, I'm going to say it in a very direct way. These were people who were tied up in their rules and their regulations. They were bound to them. These people were so bound up in the traditions, many of them the traditions of men, that they had really forgot the law of God. The Pharisees had added over 600 laws, rules and regulations to the law of Moses.
Now, the funny thing about that, and this is free, it's not going to cost you anything. The funny thing about that is they couldn't even keep 10. Had you ever thought of it like that? I mean, really, they couldn't even keep 10. What made them think they could keep 600 more? They had regulations on top of regulations on top of regulations, but they also had all the loopholes by which they could get around what they had done. You see, we find this in Congress all the time. Boy, that is the most active y'all have ever been while I've been preaching, you know. I mean, you know, we make the laws, but then we realize that that law may infringe on a little bit of something I want to do, so we make a loophole. You know, you weren't supposed to go so far on the Sabbath day, but if you sat down and ate a little something, then you could get up and go again. And so what they would do is they would have their servants go out on the day before, on Friday, and put stuff along the road so that they could walk that far, find where the servant hid it, eat it, and then go again. How silly. You know? But they had added, as I said just a moment ago, they couldn't even keep 10, but they had added 600 more to it. They worshipped. And this is a very dangerous point, folks. They worshiped the law more than they worshiped the God who gave the law. There are a lot of times that we can get so bound up in the way that we do things that we begin to worship those things more than we worship the God who gave us those things. And all that Jesus was saying here about love, and all that he had said here about being poor in spirit, and all that he had said here about all those things, and then he moved to salt and light, all of those things, they really smacked kind of against their legalistic mind, because Jesus is beginning to talk a little bit about freedom here. Something that they did not know anything about. Something that they did not and really would not enjoy. Because it was different. It didn't meet their criteria. And they were sure that he had come to destroy the law. But Jesus begins to show them he's not come to destroy the law. He has come to bring about a fulfillment in this perfect Word of God. He had come to make all that God said real. If Jesus had come to do anything, he did not come to abolish it. He came to expand it so that it affected more than just the things that we did. It moved into the attitude of the heart and mind. And that's where the rubber really meets the road, folks. We can do things with the wrong attitude and the wrong motive. Even though they may be good and right things, if we do them with the wrong attitude and with the wrong motive, they become wrong. They are of no value. And so Jesus begins to do this. He had come to bring perfection. He had come to bring the completion. He himself, according to John chapter 1 verse 14, was the perfect Word that had been made flesh and had made his dwelling among us, that he had set up his tent among us, and we have beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Wow. What Jesus was really doing here, Jesus was showing us the perfection of the Word, but he was showing us here how to use the Word and how to live by the Word. Not just keep the rules. So Jesus begins to show them here the perfection of the Word of God. But Jesus also shows them something here that I think really messed their mindset up when he begins to show them the permanence of the Word. Look at verse 18. He says, "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, jot or a tittle." Isn't that how it says it in the King James Version? "Not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." He basically tells them, folks, you can do whatever you want to do. You can live however you want to live. But God's word is going to be fulfilled. It's permanent. And really, that's something that we need to hear. We need to understand that everything that we see may disappear. And the Bible clearly tells us that one day, everything that we see is going to melt with a fervent heat. Wow. You begin to think about that. And this earth that we enjoy, I mean, it's beautiful. You know, I mean, you drive around in these hills around here, and, you know, I don't know why John Denver didn't sing about Tennessee. I said that for some of our West Virginia folks back there. But all this is going to be gone. And he says that heaven and earth will more quickly pass away, disappear, than for the word of God to be made invalid. It's just not going to happen. I said it a moment ago, and I'm coming back to it. God is going to fulfill His word. If God has said it, a bumper sticker, I've told you this before, but yeah, I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, "God said it, I believe it," and that settles it. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. If God said it, it's settled. Don't you love how I just take bumper stickers like that and ruin them for you? I mean, Jesus gets very specific here. He talks about the smallest letter or the slightest stroke of a pen. And he says, none of that is going to disappear. It is all permanent. God spoke it. And therefore it is. And really, it doesn't matter what we say. It does not matter what people outside of Christendom say about the Word of God. They can doubt it. They can say it is not true. They can laugh at us for believing it. But I promise you, one day, everything that God has said is going to come true because it is permanent. There is nothing else in our world that is, but God's Word is. I've heard it all my life. The truth will stand when the world is on fire. And that's really the truth. The truth will stand when the world is on fire. The Word of God is permanent. It will not fail. Things that I say, things that I promise you I'm going to do, you might not ought to take those checks to the bank. But God has said it, and you can count on it. And so Jesus has really been showing them here that the Word of God is perfect. He's showing them here that the Word of God is permanent. But I want you to look at verses 19 and 20, because there in verses 19 and 20, He begins to show them the priority of the Word of God. Therefore, He says, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. These folks, they were looking at, as I said, they added all these other laws to them, and they really began to keep all of those things. I mean, they scolded Jesus. If you don't believe it, you go through and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're going to find that the scribes and the Pharisees, on many occasions, they would scold Jesus because He wasn't doing and keeping all of their laws. Do your disciples not wash their hands before they eat? And Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out. That goes back to that attitude thing. That goes back to that motive thing. That goes back to those kinds of things that Jesus is talking about here. I mean, you think about it. They participated. They kept all the man-made laws. They thought that those things were so important. And they broke the full intent of the law. Please understand something, folks. God never intended for Israel to keep what He had given them to themselves. God intended for them to take the message that He had given them and to begin to promote it to the nations who were around them, to proclaim that God was God and that there was no one else like Him. But instead of doing that, they took on all the gods that were around them. Can I tell you what I'd do if I'd been God? I'd have taken my eraser and I'd have erased their name and I'd have found me somebody else. Aren't you glad I'm not God? You know, you didn't have to say amen quite so fast. But we'll... you see, they forgot the intent of all this. The intent was to keep them from getting involved in the mess and the muck that was around them. I hear so many people say, oh, well, Christians, they never have any fun. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't see a lot of people around me who are not Christians that are really having fun. I mean, you think about it. Most of them are in worse shape than we are. God never intended to keep us from having fun. God set boundaries so that we would know how to live, so that we would know what to do. It's just like we do with our children. We don't tell them don't do that because we don't want them to have fun. We set boundaries because kids need boundaries. And so therefore, we want to keep them from being hurt. We want to keep them from being harmed. And many of us have experienced what they are about to do. So we understand, we know. I remember telling a whole group of teenage boys at a camp one year, you guys don't understand that I used to be where you are. I know what you're going to try to do tonight. And they tried to sneak out of the dorm, just like I knew they were going to. And I was standing on the outside waiting on them. Folks, the intent of the law is more important than the letter of the law. They wanted to keep the letter of 600 laws. God wanted them to understand the intent of the law. I mean, Jesus makes a special point here, and I'm going to come back to this a little later on in the message. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. But Jesus makes a special point here when He laid out the Pharisees here, and He says there in verse 20, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses what they do, you'll never get to heaven. Now, please understand that when He said that, that blessed the scribes and the Pharisees. I mean, really? They immediately saw all the things that they had worked and strived for going right out the window. And it was, I believe, at that point that they began to decide, how are we going to take care of this guy? All of the best, their righteousness that they had to offer would not even get them into heaven. Unless our righteousness is better than that. Isaiah said it's like filthy rags. You see, it is the priority of the Word of God in your life. We can have all the rules and the regulations that we want, but I'm going to tell you, if people are living out the Word of God as God has given it to us, you're not going to have to worry about them doing what is right and not doing what is wrong. I firmly believe that. I found out a long time ago, and I've had people question me about this, but I stand by my statement. I believe God can do more through conviction by His Word than I can do through condemnation in my preaching. Did you hear what I said? I believe that God can do more through conviction from His Word than I can do through condemnation in my preaching. Because I can condemn somebody in my preaching, and that's only going to last as long as the guilt of that condemnation and the guilt of that word stays with them. But if God's Word transforms their hearts and their lives and their minds, that's going to be there. Because the Word of God is the priority of our lives. I've told you this before. I'm going to tell you again. Unless you get more than just Sunday morning and Sunday night and on Wednesday night, unless you are involved in the Word of God more than that, you're malnourished as a Christian. The Word of God needs to be priority in our lives. It ought to be something that we look at. It ought to be something that looks at us, that does something in us. You see, that's what is really important. The Pharisees, they gave priority to the rules. Jesus was giving priority to righteousness. And there's a big difference. There is a big difference. Conclusion. I love how you read this and you see that Jesus begins to speak of the perfection of the Word of God, or the completion of the Word of God. He is the fulfillment of the Word of God, and he has brought this about. He speaks of the permanence of the Word of God, how it's going to last. It doesn't matter what happens in our world, in our universe, the Word of God is permanent. But he speaks of the priority of the Word and the attention that we've got to give the Word, you say. You can keep my rules, you know. I can keep your rules. And we can both miss out. Just go ahead and nod your head. Because that's the truth. And now this is about to be recorded and I realize it, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? I appreciate and stress in membership class our covenant of Christian conduct. But I'm going to tell you, unless we have Jesus in our hearts and are living for Him, it doesn't matter how much of the covenant of Christian conduct we keep. If we don't have Jesus, we're going to miss out. Unless we're salt, unless we're light, we can keep everybody's rules. And I'm going to tell you, we'll be miserable. Jesus came in order that we might have life and have it to the full. He set boundaries. He understood what He was saying. He wanted us to know where we could go, what we could do. He wanted us to live out a life. And that verse 20, I'm telling you, it just absolutely shakes me when He says there, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses..." The King James Version, I believe, says there, unless it exceeds. Unless it goes beyond. And please remember that the Pharisees were the most religious people of that day. And Jesus says to them, unless your righteousness goes beyond what they are teaching, what they are preaching, unless your righteousness goes beyond that, you'll not go to heaven. The only way that salt can be the kind of salt that Jesus is talking about, and the only way that light can be the kind of light that Jesus is talking about here, comes through the Word of God in us. Did you hear what I said? The only way that salt can be the kind of salt that Jesus is talking about, and the only way that light can be the kind of light that Jesus is talking about, is by the Word of God in us. And it is to this Word, it's on the screen, it is to this Word that we have to give our attention. It is to this Word that we have to be obedient. Unless our righteousness surpasses the rules and the regulations, we're not going to make it. But if our righteousness is according to the Word of God, heaven will be our home. Amen. Praise His name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your Word that is alive. That is the most amazing thing to me about all of this. It would be easy to maybe say it's all made up, but it's still alive. The words of so many people that lived so long ago, it's dead. It's just words on a page. But Lord, your Word is still alive. It still transforms hearts. It still does something in us that we cannot explain any other way except that it is your Word. And thank you. Thank you for your Word that speaks to us. Lord, sometimes it is sharp, and sometimes your Word does cut. But Lord, you don't just cut for no reason. You just don't correct for no purpose. You have a reason. You have a purpose. And that is to cause us to live more like you and to become more like you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us that we might remember the perfection of the Word that is fulfilled in Jesus. Help us, O God, to remember the permanence of the Word, that not one little stroke of a pen, not one small letter is going to pass away until what you have said has been fulfilled. Help us, Lord, to make it a priority in our lives. Help us, O God, to live it out. May your Word become part of us. May, Lord, it change us and challenge us and convict us and compel us to be what we need to be. We love you and we thank you and we praise you for this time that we've had together. Bless those of our congregation who need your touch and who need your help. And Lord, may we be moved and may we be challenged by the community that is around us to minister to them, to give them the good news that we enjoy. Help us, Lord, as we go into the mission field this week, that we might reach someone. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory for who you are. I thank you for these who have listened attentively tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Remember all that's going to be going on this week, and Super Summer something, and that barbecue last year was wonderful. And you'll enjoy it this year. God bless you. I'm glad you're here this evening. Thanks for being with us on Facebook. Glad you were here.